from somewhere deep below the earth. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
I should tell you, remember when we had Don Herbert, Mr. Wizard, on the program? Well, the day after, his son-in-law, Tom, sent me an email, and he said he had, Don Herbert, had one of the greatest times coming on the set to talk with you and to do Coast to Coast. And that was, for me, that was just a neat thing to hear, because for so many years, Mr. Wizard gave me just great moments in my childhood, and it was great just to be able to make him happy. And he had a great time. And who knows, maybe in the not too distant future, we'll get him back into the studios in Los Angeles and chat with him a little bit more. Yeah, that was fun. Coast to Coast continues. We've got a couple more hours of open lines for you, especially with our bad luck hotline, which is 818-817-0021. Welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, and let's pick it up by going to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, welcome. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Glens Falls, New York, and my name's Ian.
Hey, Ian. What has you calling us tonight?
Oh, first I have a quick question, then I want to tell you about a bad luck experience I had.
Okay, sure.
I heard Dr. Morgis on a couple of weeks ago. Have you heard anything back from him?
No, we're waiting for him to tell us a little bit more about his gas pill. I am beginning to wonder if Dr. Morgis was trying to pull my leg, but we'll find out. I mean, he's a sharp guy and intelligent, and he knows a lot of people.
Okay. All right. This is bad luck. It's from the most fun time to the worst bad luck practically of my life. I was down in New Jersey at the PNC Center in June of 2000 for a fish concert. And I had a good time at the show. I was backstage, and then I went to leave, and I was in a VW bus, a white one of those older camper buses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're heading out, and they have a police stop. And all of a sudden, the cop waves us to pull over, and we're just like, what? There's nothing wrong with the car. So we're sitting, and he talks to my friend that was in the front seat. And then next thing we know, he wants all of us to get out, and it was New Jersey State Police. So then, for whatever reason, he wants to search the van, so we're like, okay. So he's going through everything, and he finds a bag. He's going through it, and then he pulls out a small jar. And he was like, whose bag is this? And I look, and I'm an honest person. I was like, that's my bag. So he takes the jar, he opens it up, and he smells it. And he goes, this smells like marijuana. And I was like, no, it's just a jar. And he goes, he arrested me right on the spot.
Was it empty, or did it have stuff in it?
It was empty. There was no residue in it. It didn't smell like it. I don't even know what he was talking about. So he arrests me on the spot, and then he, I'm waiting in the car, and I see him arrest my friend Joe.
All right.
He arrests him for rolling papers for paraphernalia. Next thing I know, I'm putting the Homedale, prison, not a prison, but, you know, like just for regular crime or whatever. I'm in there for 2.5 days, $2,500 bail, and it was 23-hour lockdown for having a jar.
An empty jar.
Empty jar.
What happened? How did this thing end?
Well, my mom, my girlfriend, and my sister came down, and they posted the bail. And so I went back with them. I was going to do the whole tour, but I ended up going back with my girlfriend. And my friend's dad was a lawyer, and he ended up getting them to drop it because I already served time for it, 2.5 days and 23-hour lockdown.
And did you get any money back or anything like that?
Well, they got the money back for the bail because you know, I didn't have to go to court or whatever.
Yeah, that is rotten luck. Well, now, what about your buddy after they arrested him? What happened to him?
He got the same thing because he was represented by my friend's dad that was the lawyer, but his bail was actually higher than mine because he had something else on his record. His was $3,500.
All right, now tell me, because nobody knows who you are, was anything going on in that VW van at the time? That
no,
would,
there wasn't.
Nothing. No reason why the cops should have pulled you guys over?
Well, apparently I didn't get to look at the front of the bus, but I guess there was a light out on the front of the bus, and that's the reasoning for pulling us over.
Oh, it was. Okay.
But the New Jersey State Police, they don't like the fish crowd.
Some of those guys are tough.
Yeah.
That is bad luck. Okay, thanks for sharing that story with us. First-time caller line, your turn. Hi there.
Well, hello.
Well, hello to you.
I have a little story about a friend of mine.
Wait, where are you?
Oh, I'm in Oregon. It's this little town called Ontario.
I've heard of that little town.
Well, it's Malheur County, actually, which is Bad Hour County.
Yeah.
And there's this butte. It's called Malheur Butte. And I took a friend up there one night. We were driving around being bored. And I stopped for a second, and she looks at me, and there's tears in her eyes. And I go, what's the matter? A little girl is sitting next to the car, and she's just standing there. And I go home, and I have a book about a little girl that died during a picnic. And she's from Idaho. She'd never been there before.
She could see this little girl?
Yeah.
You could not?
I could not. But she looked at me, and there were tears in her eyes. And I go, what's the matter? It's this little girl standing by the car.
Did she think the little girl was a ghost?
Yeah. The spirit of a little girl.
Oh, so she knew it was a spirit.
Well, that's the impression she got. Was it was the spirit of a little girl.
How did that make you feel, that was happening?
I was a little jealous that I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And from what I hear, lots of other weird stuff people see up there.
So your friend
and
wasn't scared, though?
What?
Your friend was not scared.
No, she wasn't scared. She looked more sad than anything.
Yeah. That would be sad, I guess, to see something like that. Well, let's go to our... Where are we going next? Hold on here. We've got a technical machine that has decided to become alive all of a sudden. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, what's up?
Not much. My name's Nate. I'm from Somerset, Kentucky. Recently been in this apartment building for about 1 month, and my neighbor, who hadn't been in here that long either, was talking about taking pictures. She's pregnant, and she had what she called spirit orbs, and until this time, I'd never heard of it. And so I was looking through pictures that I had, and it seemed like around Christmas and Easter, there are lots of these little blotches. They look like watermarks. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I sure do.
Okay. I just don't know anything about them, but I was looking at a family like this Christmas, pictures that were taken, and there's at least about 20 of them in one localized area during the, you know, family opening up the gifts and everything. And I'm just wondering, I have a son, he's about 2 years old. I don't know if he's waking up in the middle of the night because of spirits or if it's just gas. I'm thinking it's gas since he's two, but I just really don't know much about these spirit orbs, and I was just trying to find out something.
Well, and you can only see it on film. You can't see it
exactly.
With the naked eye? Yeah.
Exactly. And my wife, she says that my mom and dad's house, when my son was just a newborn, the pictures my mom took, there was other picture, like those watermarks or other things in the photos with my son.
I know I'm not an expert in orbs, but we do have some people who are, and you might want to send me, if you can, that picture, and I can get that to them, and they can take a look at it. They can determine if there's something up with your camera, if it's reflection from the flashbulb, flashlight, just do that to me, and also, we'll have Lex and Sean take a look at it, too. That's something they might post on the coasttocoastam.com website. Let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. I know you don't believe in coincidences, so
no.
I thought I'd call. This is a synchronistic story involving the Vietnam sniper story you had earlier.
Okay, which was a pretty provocative story.
Yeah, I have something that relates to it. I was doing some research on the Bible, and I believe that that dark figure that he saw was probably an angel. And so I came across this word in the Bible in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. It says, "I am a jealous God, and my name is Jealous." So I looked it up in my Strong's Concordance, and that word is Kana. And I've never heard that in any church, that the name of God is Kana. I've heard his name is Jehovah.
Yahweh, all that.
Right, and the Muslims believe Allah. So I was at the gym. I'm very talkative, and I usually talk to whoever's working out next to me. And if they want to talk, then I talk, and we have a conversation. So this guy was from Ethiopia, and he spoke Hebrew. And we were talking about the Ark, which that guy also mentioned. And he thought that the Ark was in a Coptic church in Ethiopia. And then I asked him about the word Kana, and he said that, yeah, that meant jealous. So the next day, I was down by the beach, and I saw this guy was just sitting on the wall, and he looked like he needed a place to stay or some money or something like that. Real big guy, looked like a Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
And so I started talking to him, and he said, "Kana sent me." And I thought, oh, no.
Oh, yeah,
this
really.
This guy must be an angel or something. Or
something.
Yeah, so I took him to the gym, get a shower, and we worked out. And if I could lift 100 pounds, like on a bicep curl, he could lift 400 pounds. He made me a bet. He said, "I bet you I can lift four times whatever you can lift." And so I said, "This guy's got to be an angel or something." So I let him sleep on my couch, and he's dreaming.
What a benevolent guy you are.
Well, that's what Jesus said to do that kind of stuff.
That guy could have been a murderer or something.
Well, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. He's got Reaper angels, too. They could come and take you. So I let him sleep on my couch, and he's dreaming in Hebrew. And then he says, you know, and then the next day I told him about it. He said, "What did I say?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't speak Hebrew." And then he started teaching me this song about Abraham. Raise your right hand, and then we're all sons of Abraham. And then I started to feel real euphoric. And I remember I read in this book that there was like these three rabbis, and they learned this song, and then they went to heaven, and one of them lied and died, and another one came back and got stung by a bee, and only one of them lived because he was the only one that was holy out of the three rabbis. So I said, "I better not go on with this." I said, stop. I don't want to go. So he told me he was a sniper for the U.S. Army in Vietnam, and
that's weird. I wonder if he was the other sniper.
Well, the really weird thing is when I finally let him off, I had to let him go. He told me this. He said he was telling a story. He showed me these wounds he had in his stomach where he'd been shot by 50 caliber machine guns, and he said they were coming down from the north. So the Bible says that God will fight for you if you obey his commandments. It'll fight against you. I think he fought for the Vietnamese in the Tet Offensive.
I also thought for a moment you were going to echo the same story that the other person called in, the sniper, that the other person said to you.
No.
That would have been weird.
Well, what was weird is that the wounds he showed me was when he was fighting, when he switched sides.
So how'd you get rid of him?
I was scared to death. I took him to the bus stop and let him off.
And he didn't protest, no problems, off he went, huh?
Well, actually, I don't remember the exact chronology, but I felt guilty, and I picked him up again, and then I bought him a bunch of camping gear, and then he was going to Sitka Island in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Russian Orthodox church, and they're involved with angels.
That's what you think? You still think he was an angel?
Oh, I know for sure he was.
I'll tell you what, though. You're a benevolent guy. You would do more than I would at that moment. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, good evening, George.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Oh, not much. Hey, my name's Rick. I'm calling from a truck stop in my second home here in my truck.
And where might this be, by the way?
Just around Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, sure thing.
And just to make you, if it makes you feel any better, I'm terrified of clowns and dolls, too. Dolls just give me the creeps.
Yeah, these ceramic dolls especially.
Yeah, with the eyes that stay open all the time.
Beating
anyway, the reason I called is, being Friday the 13th, I wanted to tell you a story, and this God is my witness, this is the truth, about a dog that I had named Jack. My dog, Jack, he was an inside dog, and I was over at my parents' house staying with them, and I let him out into the backyard. Once you let him in and had noticed it, there was a big stick laying in the yard, and I figured mean one of the neighborhood kids or something throwing a stick over the fence. Well, it had gotten a little bit of a cut on Jack's nose. So my parents said show dogs, and there was a kennel out there, and one of the show dogs was in the kennel. So I said, well, they all got along, so I'd take Jack and put him in the kennel with the show dog. So I put him in the kennel, and they were playing and rolling around, and, you know, I went on inside. Well, Jack came in the house that night, brought him in the house, and looks like he had gotten, like, a little puncture wound in the top of his head from, you know, chewing, playing with the other dog.
Yeah.
Well, by morning, this had blown up into a full-blown cyst on top of his head.
Oh, my God.
So I take him to the vet. The vet says it's no big deal. He makes a little incision, squeezes out all the infection, and puts a little piece of cloth down in there to act as a drain, and going to put him on antibiotics. So now I walk out of the vet, and I've got my dog now, and he's got this little flag. Looks like a little flag sticking out the top of his head. So I get almost to the car, and this is the worst luck dog. I get out to almost to the car, and I'm thinking, he was about 2 years old. I think, well, while I'm here at the vet, I'm going to go ahead and ask the vet about getting him neutered. So I turn around, I walk right back into the vet, got Jack with me, and I wanted to find out, I better get an appointment to get him neutered. Well, the receptionist says, well, I'll tell you what, I've got an opening first thing in the morning. If you want to leave him, we'll go ahead and neuter him in the morning, and you can pick him up in the afternoon. So I said, hey, that's great. So I went ahead and left him. Went home. Next morning I got up, you know, went in the afternoon, picked him up. So now I go to walk out the door with this dog that now has a little cut on his nose. He's got a flag sticking out of the top of his head, and he has no doggy manhood anymore. Okay?
Poor dog.
So we go to walk out the door, and there's an inner door and an outer door. Okay, you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
You know, like two doors and like a little tiny
foyer. Yeah, it's like a little vestibule in between.
Right. So we go to walk out, and I open the door, and we walk out, and he's right beside me. Well, another guy was walking in the front door with another dog. So I kind of stood up to the side. Well, I expected Jack to come back beside me, but instead he backed towards the door. Well, I took my hand off the door. The door closed on his tail.
Oh.
And put a cut in his tail. So now I've got to take him back in the vet and get his tail shaved and sutured up. So now I'm walking out the door, finally get out to the car with the dog that's got sutures in the tail, a flag out of his head, a scratch on his nose, and no doggy manhood. And he never wanted to go back to the vet the 16 years I had
him. Did you blame him?
I couldn't blame him one bit, and I felt terrible. The looks he gave me were just awful.
I got to tell you, I won't even go there. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, welcome to the show.
My name's David. I got to talk with you a short while back ago, and we ran up on a break. I hope we're not close to one.
David, we're a minute away from a break, so I think I'll put you on hold and get you complete when we come back, okay?
That would be good.
All right, Danny, put him on hold, East of the Rockies, and we'll come back and get you right away because I don't want – you have a remarkable timing clock in your head, but you come up to a break all the time. That reminds me, I want to tell you a little bit about what's in store next week. And don't forget, right at the end of the program, still got another hour and a half to go, but we're going to play a song that was sung and written by Cindy Laura, who sent it into us, and our staff just went crazy over it. So we're going to play it for you. But on Monday, Charles Smith back, cyber war columnist. We're going to be talking about the latest information about North Korea's nuclear capability. This truly affects all of us. On Tuesday, David Darling back, teleportation. We're going to talk about the impossible leap. And then, you know, as you know, we've been talking about the pharmaceutical giants and just what's going on there. And we've got a major story that we're going to talk about on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, Jonathan Gray joins us with some incredible stories about ancient archaeology, some of the equipment that they had that apparently disappeared thousands of years ago. And then on Friday, Linda Moulton Howe joins us with a one-hour report on these exploding frogs, just what's happening to them. And then we'll have more open lines. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Sign up now for Streamlink. Now with podcasting. Get it today at coasttocoastam.com. Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, maybe Michelle out of Bismarck, North Dakota was indeed right when she wrote me earlier this week, and I did read it. Some of you might not have picked it up. Wanted you to know that Oscar has been destroyed. I live in Bismarck, North Dakota, organized a prayer service for Oscar's destruction at my church. Rachel attends my church. Rachel, by the way, is the woman that Oscar possessed and was present at the time of the service. Seven windows broke in the chapel at the time of the 20-minute intense prayer service, and the temperature dropped 25 degrees. But I don't think he'll be bothering you or anyone else ever again. Well, you might be right, Michelle. We haven't heard from him in a couple weeks now. Back in a moment with more of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go back to east of the Rockies. David, I believe, right?
That's right.
Okay, Dave, go ahead.
All right, and I appreciate you waiting on me here. You have to excuse my voice. I'm an entertainer, and I sing all night, and I get to hear you on the way home.
Well, now, wait a minute. You're not going to get away tonight without singing a song for us after you're done talking to me. Deal?
I don't know. My throat's a bad shot now. That's why my throat is so rough.
This is request line night, so... But go ahead. Go with your story first.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to talk a while back ago, but I didn't get to finish it before we went up on a break. But what happened, it's an odd story. I had an antique store for quite a while, and a boy came in and sold me a device. He tried to sell it to several of the antique stores around where I was at, but it was called a psychophone. And I don't know if you remember us talking about this, but it was an old cylinder player. And that held the wax cylinders, you know, back in the early 1900s, where they would play music off of them.
Yes, I remember this now. Okay.
But apparently the player head, what you think of as the player head that laid on the wax to play, it was a record head. It said record on it. So it was kind of an odd device. It had the horn coming out of it, but it had a clock mechanism in the front of the player as well. Well, I started contacting people trying to find out a little bit about it because it was really odd. It was an electrical cylinder player. It had a cord on it, but instead of your conventional two-prong, you know, the way we know them today, this was one that would actually screw into a light bulb to power it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I searched and searched and could not find nothing on it. I called the National Gramophone Society. I called the Smithsonian. I called the Edison Museum. I called the Magic Museum. I believe it's in Pennsylvania. Where's the National? I don't know if you're familiar with it. But she said, I have a friend that may know a little bit about this thing. Can I get him to contact you? Because I think he would be interested. Well, the gentleman that contacted me turned out to be a Kreskin. And the reason we kind of got off on this magic end of it is because the Christies of London, when I sent it some pictures to them, they told me that this appeared to be, they said, we've never seen one before, but we're familiar with them. And they said, we auction off more cylinder players and gramophones and these types of things than anybody in the world. But he said, you got a new one here on us. But we think that it was probably made in the early part of the century as a recording device to record seances. And he said, back during the spiritual movement, when everybody had lost family members in World War One, and not too far away from the Civil War.
Oh, you still with us? Oh, call us right back, David. Call us right back. That line's still open. Keep that line open for him, Tom. And we'll try to get him back in because his phone went dead right at the end. West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. My name's Connie in Reno, Nevada.
Hi, Connie.
Yes. Remember you had those people on that were recording ghosts?
Yes, we've had them on quite a bit from the Ghost Investigative Society.
I had one today. See, where I live at, it used to be a retirement home community, and now it's a boarding house community where everybody rents a room and shares the common areas. Well, we've had things going on all year since I've lived there. Like one guy said he got tapped on the shoulder in the middle of the night. Another guy says that his CD player, it ejects the CD if it's hard rock. Even in my room, I have like my TV and VCR, like, since I work graveyard, I'll be watching TV at my videotapes at night. I've had where, like, the video stopped, ejected, VCR turned off, TV turned off, like somebody was doing it manually.
But have you ever captured them on tape or on video?
Today, I decided to check my messages on my cell phone. I pressed, I brought up message. And here and it called in for the message center, and I normally hear a female voice saying to punch in my code and to retrieve my messages. Instead, what I got was it was a pause. Then I got this. It was an old man's voice. He was barely talking above a whisper, and he said, "It hurts." And another pause, then he said, I am in pain and it hurts.
Do you still have that on your cell phone, hon?
No. The thing is that I looked at my cell phone. It gave me chills up and down my spine when I heard it.
Would you erase it?
Phone. No, it wasn't on a message. I looked on my phone. I never got the answering service. On my phone, it said call ended. And
I don't understand. How did you retrieve it? You just picked up the phone and there it was?
I was in the process of calling up the message center to get my messages when I got the voice instead. And then I thought that's strange, so I went ahead and punched it up again. And this time I did get the message service and I did retrieve my messages. But that call came out of the blue. It was while I was trying to connect while in the process of trying to connect with my message service, I got...
For me, I was demon-possessed. See, I had this feeling would come on me, and I still have to fight this feeling even on today.
Were you possessed, David, do you think, in Vietnam?
I was possessed, I believe, right after the first man I killed. And the thing about it is, when I came back, I was so distraught that I didn't know what to do, and I thought I'd become a serial killer. But I decided, I came in contact with these people at the Assembly of God Church. They prayed for me, and I was eventually set free, and I'm so glad that I was.
Are you okay now?
I'm okay. I got post-traumatic stress. I'm on Wellbutrin. They use that in a lot of vets, antidepressant, and Paxil, too. So I have to take that 300 milligrams or 340 milligrams. And since this stuff started in Iraq, I started having problems again. But I'm not demon-possessed. I read my Bible, and I pray to God, and I thank God that I was released. But that because you get released doesn't mean that feeling or that spirit will not try to come back. And when I feel it trying to come back on me, I just begin praying and reading God's word, you know.
Well, but, because of the war in Iraq, what does that do? Bring back Vietnam memories or something like that?
Yes, the combat. Anywhere I go, I can't go anywhere without hearing people talk or seeing it on the TV. All the combat, and the combat is what it bothers me. And I'm in counseling. I put myself in counseling, and they said they wanted to try Wellbutrin on me because they use that on a lot of vets.
What do you think would happen if you weren't taking the drug?
I get real depressed, and I get violently angry, and I still have anger problems. When I'm on the medication and go to my counseling, I'm doing okay. You know, I reason things out.
You got to be, what, in your mid-50s now?
Yeah, I'm about 53.
53 now, and are you able to work? You know, what do you do now?
I've been working, but recently I've had some problems where I've had to get on disability, and I don't know if I'll be on it the rest of my life. I'm on Social Security disability right now.
I understand. What did you do for a living? What in terms of work when you were working?
I did landscaping and not anything really trained. I plan on going back to school, get settled down here to take some computer training and do something to help myself out. But I just think God, you know, these demons are real, and the people get I didn't ask for it. But after the first time I knew I'd killed this enemy.
How many soldiers do you think you killed? Or
I know for sure I killed eight. I know for sure I killed eight enemy. And, you know, and it always came back in my mind, I can never get saved. I can never get away from this. And I'd get in fights and bars and stuff, and people would stab me, break bottles of beer uncapped over my head. And they wouldn't even stop me. Yeah, I mean, I just kept
coming.
Yeah, I could have been shot and killed. You know, that's a sad part of it. I could have been shot and killed, but I was out of control. But I found God. That's the main one I get across to people. I found God, and I got delivered all this mess. And I sometimes it tries to get back on me. I feel that spirit trying to do it, but I just pray and I contact the people I know in the churches.
I think it's a never ending battle, David. You always have to fight. I think, don't you think?
I think so, but I want to do something good with my life and help people. And you've been talking about supporting these little kids. I love kids, and I got a kid of my own. He's 25 now, but yeah. I'd like to support one of these kids, and I'm thinking about doing it.
If you can, afford $18 a month, go for it. If you can't, don't worry about that. You know, we've got enough coast-to-coast family members. We'll take care of the kids. But if you can afford it, great. If you can't, you know, just the fact that you care enough about doing it, that's good enough for me.
But the thing about it is, I want to stress, George, is that these things are real. And I worry about you sometimes, George, because you're doing all these experiments with ESP and stuff. You open a door, and you don't even know you're opening a door, and something comes through.
David, I have got the biggest shield around me in terms of energy that you can imagine. I don't know where it came from. It might have been a gift, but I think it is nearly impossible for any of these entities to get through. And believe me, they've tried. Even while I've been on the air, they've tried, but they just can't do it. And let me tell you why I think that's the case. I think that good people like you and other Coast to Coast listeners have enveloped me in some kind of protective force shield, and I don't think they can get to me.
Well, what I'm doing, you talk about getting saved at the light and going, not going to the yellow red light. you know, or the green light when you had the green and the guy went to the red light.
Exactly.
I pray for you every day, and I people thought that I had no good in me when I came back, but I got a lot of good in me and a lot of good years left, and I want to do good instead of doing bad. But if I hadn't gotten delivered and people hadn't taken the time to pray for me and get these spirits out of me, I don't know where I would have been.
I hear you. Well, you keep going down the right path. Sounds like you're on a good one.
Thanks, George.
All right, take care of yourself. Let's move on to our bad luck hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, is it me?
Yeah, sure is.
Hey, George, how are we doing?
I'm doing great.
Are we still doing the bad luck line?
Yes, all night.
Okay, well, you might not believe this. I'm one of three. I'm a triplet. Me and the one that I'm closest to, there's Greg, there's Chris, and there's me. I'm Tim.
All boys then, right? All guys.
All boys. Okay, boys night out. You can imagine how rowdy we are and competitive.
Are you all identical?
We are all identical. We're all born within 13 seconds. We are peas out of pod.
Here's what happened. Okay.
Me and the one that I'm closest to, we all go to a tavern one night. We're getting drunk. We're getting real silly. And we both kind of fall for this girl. We both think she's beautiful. Both want to, you know, kiss her and everything, court her. Well, we both decide since we're brothers and, you know, we don't want to fight over her, that neither of us going to take her. Neither
too
of us
bad, too bad she didn't have twins or something.
Right? Oh, yes. You know, George. That would have been, money, as we say. So we decided we're not going to date her. A month or two go by, and we're sitting there talking about it. Well, our other twin, Chris, he's going out of town. He tells us he's going out of town. So same routine. We decided we're going to go out that night. We go out to a local tavern. And sure enough, this girl that we were fighting over and our triplet brother are there together.
No.
George, I'm not kidding you. Under B. Arthur, it's true.
Now, did triplet brother even know that you two were interested in this girl?
Chris had no idea. And he knew that it was about some girl. We're all triplets, very, very close. So, I mean, that was the end of it. That's a year and a half ago. So let me tell you about bad luck. Are you ready?
You got it.
You ready for bad luck? We go out hunting one night. We're in Montgomery City. We're going hunting. Pheasant opens up. We go out hunting. We see her and her father out in a pheasant field. We're out drinking. One night, we're hunting. We go out. We camp open a bonfire. We're waiting. We crack open a couple brewskis. We're all talking and joking and stuff. Well, my brother one goes out to get some weed so we can put it in our fire. She is out there with her dad. We see her and her dad. We don't believe him. He comes back. He's like, oh, you know, he's like, Becky's here. Or, you know, we've all had a couple of few, so we think he's joking. He's dead serious. We move two campsites over, and it's her. Sure enough, Becky there with her dad.
You can't get away from this girl.
She's that wolf man, dude. I don't even know what to say. I mean, we're simple, man. We're real country boys at heart and everything, and we don't believe in a whole lot of that hoo-ha conspiracy stuff, but how unlucky is that, George?
I know, that is. Did you say you were from Joplin?
From Joplin.
Yeah, know it well. Not too far from St. Louis, not really that far.
No, we were born in St. Louis. We were born at St. Luke's Hospital. We moved up to Joplin. This gal is that. I mean, if you want to talk about bad luck, she's that wolf man, dude. She gets the, blood tingles. I mean, she was that cute. I mean, she was a looker.
Well,
fighting over her.
You'd think she wasn't a vampire, then all three of you guys would be in a lot of trouble. I'll be back in a moment. We've got one more hour to go. Very fast night tonight. Open lines continue, plus our bad luck hotline. I'm George Norrie, and hey, Dave out there, if you can ever get through east of the Rockies, call in and finish your story, plus I wanted you to sing a song for us.
Podcasting. The new way to get Coast to Coast AM to your computer. Available to all StreamLink subscribers at coasttocoastam.com.
When I watch the cars, I fear I'll do some damage one fine day. But I would not be convicted by jury of my peers.